All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts, chapter 20. My wife went over my message to get familiar with it, to interpret tonight for the deaf. And when she got done studying it, she said, that'd be a good sermon for the Sword Conference this year down in Walkertown. And I said, do you really think so? And she said, oh yeah, I think so. So I never thought about that, but it is a neat little thought that I trust will be a blessing to you tonight. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, getting versus giving. Getting versus giving. All right, now let's think about that for a minute. Getting versus getting. All right, look at your Bible. Let's start in verse. Let's start in verse 28. He said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." Now here's my text. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said," everybody read this with me now, ready? "It is more blessed to give than to receive." I want to speak to you tonight on getting versus giving. Let's pray together real quickly. Father, we ask now your blessings upon the Word of God. Thank you for Brother Cunningham's testimony. Thank you for him and all the years of faithfulness that he and his wife have given to seeing the gospel go into tribal areas and people that do not and have not heard the gospel. Thank you for their efforts. Thank you for their work in Scotland and throughout Europe. And I pray your continued blessings to be upon them. And Lord, thank you for these children that sung a little while ago. Thank you for that blessing. Thank you for the teenagers that sung for us tonight. What a blessing to see young people serving the Lord. And Father, I pray now you'll bless the Word of God. Open our understanding. May we have ears to hear tonight, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul is reminding the folks at Ephesus of something that I think a lot of folks are prone to forget. He told them that the Lord Jesus was the one who said these now famous words that we all know, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I think of all of us need to be reminded of this little truth. And I think that we ought to really be reminded of it a little more often than we are. This little statement is one that cuts squarely across the grain of commonly accepted views. Most of us agree with this 100%. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We all agree with that. I don't think anybody here would argue that. But most of us agree 100% with this, as long as we're the one getting and not giving. Did you get that? Now, notice that the Lord is drawing a contrast between two opposite philosophies of life, that of giving and that of getting. As I have pointed out to you on any number of occasions in many sermons, the Lord Jesus was constantly dividing folks into one of two groups. Sometimes it was into those that were ready for life's emergencies, great and small, and those that were not ready for life's emergencies. Or sometimes it was into those that traveled life on the straight and narrow road and those who traveled life on the broad way. And you'll remember he said that the straight and narrow leads to life and the broad way leads to destruction. But he broke it down into one of two groups. And then sometimes he divided people into those who were alive and then those that were dead. Those that were alive in Christ and those that were dead in trespasses and sins. And then here in this little saying that the Lord spoke, that was quoted by the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus divides men into givers and getters. And by this, he does not mean that there are certain folks who do nothing but give, and then there are others who do nothing but get. Now, he's not saying that. The truth is, we all play both roles. What he does mean is that our predominant passion is either getting or it's giving. Now, that is true of everyone. Folks, you are either by nature a giver or you are a getter. That was true even among the disciples. For instance, Judas Iscariot, let's take him to show one extreme. And you can hear Judas near the end of his journey, and a great deal of insight is shown when you see him standing in front of the priest, and he says to them, "What will ye give me?" Did you hear that? He asked, "What will you give me if I give you Jesus? What will you give me if I turn Jesus over to you? If I deliver him unto you?" Now, we know that Judas had a few qualities, but what I want you to see tonight is in his heart, we see that he was a getter rather than a giver. Now, by contrast, let's look at the other side of the coin and think for a minute about Simon Peter. Peter was far from a perfect soul. As a matter of fact, he was always very explicitly human. That was Peter. You never had to guess where Peter stood on any issue. And one day, on the way to the temple, Peter and John came past a fellow who was sitting at the gate, and he was begging. This man begged every day for his living. And as Peter and John passed by, the man cried out to Peter, "Alms for the poor. Do you have any alms for the poor?" And Peter searched his pockets and found nothing. But notice, he did not shun the beggar, but instead said to him, in I think a very kind way, "Silver and gold have I none." but such as I have give I unto you. And these two little words are the key to Simon Peter's character. Give I unto you. Give I. That's Peter, folks. It's almost like Peter was saying, I would give you money if I had any. But since I don't have any, I will give you what I do have. And he did this because giving was the ruling passion of his life. It is to help us in making giving our ruling passion that the Lord Jesus says, or said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, let me take that little statement and let me point out just a couple of things to drive this statement home to you tonight. Number one, I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus is declaring in this statement. Probably everybody in this room knows that little statement. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We all have learned that as we have made our way through life. But what was the Lord declaring in this statement? I think there are two bold declarations that the Lord Jesus is making right here. First, he is saying that it is blessed to receive. Now think about that. You got to think that now. He is not saying there's anything wrong with receiving. He is actually saying that there is a blessing connected to receiving. It is true that he is saying it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, but it is still a blessing to be on the receiving end of someone else's giving, right? And the truth is, we have all been receivers all of our lives. So we know something about the joy of receiving, having had all of this experience with it. Folks, just think about it. We began receiving the moment we were born. The moment we were born, we started receiving. When birthday time rolled around, we were on the receiving end. When Christmas came, childhood memories were forever etched in our minds because of what we received. We don't remember childhood Christmas as a time of giving. We remember childhood Christmas as a time of getting, right? I do. And I think all of this receiving might be kind of responsible for some of the thinking, some of the wrong thinking that our world has today. That thinking might be what lies behind our generation thinking that we can get something for nothing. Which might be what makes playing the lottery and all the gambling that goes on in our nation one of the greatest curses of our day. I'm telling you, folks, that lottery thing, shame on you. When you got missionaries that need that money, shame on you. You're welcome. You're welcome. But now, listen, you trust God for your needs, not the state of Maryland. And this affinity for receiving and getting for nothing just might be one of the main reasons why there are so many people in our society today who are looking for the government to give them a living. They get a credit card to, I know there are folks that need it, so don't send me emails. I know that. But there are a lot of folks that could actually go out and get a job. They get a credit card to buy food and to buy insurance and subsidized housing and their utilities. And I'm sure that there are a lot of folks that appreciate the opportunity to get these benefits because they need it. But there are others who think they deserve it just because they're here. Go get a job. Work. And of course, we all recognize the blessedness of receiving life's higher values like encouragement and appreciation and the opportunity to receive a pat on the back or a little comfort from someone that loves us. So we're used to receiving. That's my point. But look at what the Lord said. He said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We all know it's good to receive. But Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I remember all those Christmas days. I remember all those Christmas mornings. We always had Christmas on the 25th in the morning. We woke up. And there was Christmas. I mean, it was so exciting. We couldn't sleep the night before. Remember that? But something changes once you have your own children, doesn't it? Something changes. All of a sudden, it's not about receiving. It becomes about giving. You don't look forward to Christmas for what you are going to get. You look forward to Christmas for what you are able to give. So you can imagine how blessed God is because he freely gives to us eternal life. You can imagine how blessed he must be. And folks, don't we all enjoy being blessed? So if you want to be blessed, I can tell you how to do it. Give. Give. For the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Second thing I want you to notice. Let me see if I can clear my throat. I didn't preach last Sunday. You know, vocal cords, if you don't use them, you lose them. And I didn't preach. I haven't preached since 2 weeks. There it is. All right, number two. Can't get my motor started. Number two. If this statement is true, then just where is it true? Think about that for a minute. If this statement is true, and I believe it is, the Lord Jesus said it. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So if this statement is true, wherein is it true? I wish the world would wake up and realize the value of this truth that came from the lips of our wonderful Lord. You see, if the world would realize this, all of the bombing and all the terrorism and nation rising against nation would stop. How foolish that the world listens to the God of this world instead of the God of heaven. And it is true because it is only by giving that we can give a worthy meaning to our getting. William Carey, one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known. Very few people know this about him, but William Carey started out as a shoemaker. He made shoes for people to wear. He worked hard and saved his money, but not for himself. He worked hard and long hours and days without end, worked hard and saved his money, not so he could buy a bigger house or not so he could have the things of the world, but he worked hard and he saved his money so that he could go out and set the world on fire for Christ. Back in those days, Churches didn't support them. They had to do it themselves. They could not say, I'm going out on deputation and go knock on the door of a church and raise money. No, you had to go just raise the money yourself and do it. And Carrie went out from the work and labor of his own hands. And multitudes want to get, but they have no desire to give. And folks, it just doesn't work that way. And just think, though, of the multitudes that are in heaven tonight because of William Carey's giving of everything he had to reach people with the gospel of Christ. Folks, do you know why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea? It's because it has an inlet but no outlet. And you know, if we just sit around and receive and receive and receive and there's no giving, well, I'm telling you, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. That's a deadly formula for a sea, but it's also a deadly formula for a human soul. The man that refuses to give refuses to live. We have all heard about these folks that lived to an old age and then they lived in squalor and died without anyone even caring that they were gone. And then you find out after they're dead and gone that they were multimillionaires. They died without a friend in the world, not one soul to even attend their funeral. How sad to live an entire life and yet have a Dead Sea for a soul. There's got to be giving, folks, not just sitting around receiving all the time. And that's why it is so vital for you when you come to the house of God to sit and receive. I prepare these sermons and study and put it down in thought and outline form and come in here and deliver it to you. And you sit and receive it. But wait a minute. Don't just keep receiving. Take it out and use it for the glory of God. And let folks see Christ in you. You see, the word of Christ is true because it is only by giving that we are capable in the finest sense of receiving. This is true in our relationships with one another. Oh, listen, you got to give. If you're going to get along with folks, you just have to. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever go to a cliff or to a cave? And there are several spots down in the mountains of West Virginia, and you can go down there and call out, raise your voice, and send your voice through a canyon, and you'll hear an echo. You ever done that? Did you ever talk to a cliff that answered you with an echo? If you have, you learned rather quickly that you can get any reply that you desire from that cliff. My brother and I found one time, and one of us, I think it was him, hollered first, and it echoed and came back to us. And my first response was, Mike is ugly. Ugly, 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 ugly. I just stand there smiling, looking at him. You can get whatever response you want. You can make that say what you, if you speak kindly, your reply will be a kind one. If you speak harshly, your reply will be harsh. And folks, it is exactly the same way with the echoes of the human heart. Solomon said, if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. You've heard people say this is a cruel world. Yes, it is, folks, but you can change the world around you by giving kindness, love, mercy and grace. It is a cruel world, but you can change it by giving. Years ago, I was pastoring down in Nitro, West Virginia, Twin City, and I was sitting on the platform one Sunday morning. I saw a couple come in. I recognized them immediately. I knew them from the church where I got saved. And I noticed when they walked in, they had a frown on their face. They had a scowl on their face. And I later found out that they had been offended in their church, in their home church. And they were angry. And they left that church and came over to our church. And when they walked in the door, they were both very tall, very distinctive looking people, black, jet black hair, and all refined and dressed to the hilt. And I remember standing there watching them when they came in, and neither one of them smiled, didn't look at anybody, just walked through the door, came in, found a seat, and sat down in that seat. I noticed during the handshaking time, I noticed that neither one of them made any effort to shake anybody's hand. They just kind of stood there looking around with a scowl on their face. And I thought, wow, that's not the people that I knew growing up. I wonder what's going on. And the next Sunday, they came back in, and it was the same thing. I walked off the platform, went down and shook their hand and thanked them for coming and welcomed them to the service. And I said, are you folks going to be home Tuesday night? They said, yeah, we'll be home. So I went over and we sat down. And the first thing the lady said to me was, she said, well, Pastor, I'm going to tell you right now, I just don't think you have a friendly church. And I know I shouldn't have. Now, I know I shouldn't have. But I looked at her and I said, B, let me tell you something, girl. You walked in that door back there daring anybody to speak to you. You walked in the door angry. Why are you angry? She looked at me and she said, you could see that? And I said, yes, ma'am, I sure could. I said, I've known you for a long time. When you came through the door, you were mad. Why were you mad? She said, because, and then she told me the whole story about what happened at the church. And I said, B, the reason that nobody shook your hand is because you didn't want anybody to shake your hand. You came through that door with a scowl on your face. You came through that door just daring somebody to be nice to you. And nobody would. Nobody dared to be nice to you. And folks, that's exactly the point that I'm trying to make. You must give if you expect to get. Can I remind you, the wisest man in the world said, if a man would have friends, he's got to show himself friendly. It's just that simple. I remember when I was in elementary school, there was this girl that was in our class, and she was an introvert. She had a rough home, later found out. She had a rough home. She was a very intelligent person, read everything she could get her hands on, very knowledgeable kid. But she had no friends. During lunch, she sat by herself. During recess, she stood by herself. Nobody ever talked to her. Nobody ever played with her. Nobody ever. I used to feel so sorry for her. And I remember in the fourth grade, I felt sorry for her. We were playing kickball. And I walked over and I said, hey, why don't you come be on our team? And she looked at me. She didn't even know how to respond to that. She didn't even know how to communicate. No, I don't want to play. No, I'm not very good at sports. No, thank you, but I'm okay. None of it. Got nothing of that. She just stood there looking at me. So I ran back, just got back where I was. And I watched that girl fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, until we went off to junior high school, and then I don't know where she went. But I watched her. She had nothing. But neither did she put forth any effort. Folks, if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly.
That's right.
And you put forth a little effort to give, and you'll find out there's a lot of folks that will receive a friend. Guarantee it. I've challenged the church through the years. You see a new person, walk over and shake their hand and welcome them. Thank them for coming. Go over and introduce yourself. Remember their name if you can. Write it down if you have to. There's a lot of times I go up and I say, hey, good to have you. What's your name? They'll tell me their name. They'll turn around and walk away. And I get write that name down before I... My rememberer is just not what he used to be. So I write it down on a piece of paper. And then I can't remember where I laid the piece of paper. Last thing I want you to see. Folks, you got to give if you expect to get. That's the point. Number three, quickly. How did Jesus come to discover this great truth? How did he come to discover this great truth? Well, of course, I understand that he was God, so he knew this truth about us. He knew this about us. He knew this. But I assure you, he did not learn this truth through reading somebody's book or by going to somebody's How to Be Happy in Life seminar. No, he learned through his own experiences that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. He learned that by experience. His life was the richest life that was ever lived on this planet. Oh, how joyful he was. How happy he lived his life as he walked those hills of Galilee. His entire life was one of peace and joy and full and complete enjoyment. He lived more richly than anybody else. You know why? Because he was always giving. And we too will find life worth living in proportion to the fullness with which we are willing to give of ourselves. Just think of it, folks. Everywhere he went, he was giving of himself. With the multitudes that came to him for healing. We read on a couple of occasions that he just went and sat down and folks came by the thousands just to be touched with his healing hand. If anybody learned this truth from practical experience, it was the Lord Jesus. So he could say this because he knew that it was 100% true. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And this is what he meant when he told us the story of the prodigal son. He was a young man who had it all backwards, just like most of us do. He had it all backwards. He came to his daddy and he said, Father, give me. Do you notice that? Give me the portions of the goods that fall to me. Do you hear that? Give me. That's backwards. That's backwards, son. You got it all backwards. Now, I don't think it was his intention to hurt his dear old daddy or to hurt himself. I think his purpose was just selfish. It was him yielding to his sinful nature. He wanted to make his life as joyful and as fulfilling as he possibly could. But though he got that for which he asked, the end of his adventure was hunger and loneliness and a place alongside the hog pen. He thought receiving was the best thing in the world, but boy, he found out that thinking was off. But thank God he came to himself. And when he did come to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. And so the Bible says that he arose and came to his father. Now, do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? The Lord Jesus said that when the son was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Did you hear that? You see, his first request that he made months earlier was, give me. Give me. But now he comes back and his last request is, make me. Father, let me give myself to you. And that's what Brother Cunningham was talking about. Let me give myself to you, and then you make me what you want of me. But it starts with giving, not receiving. Folks, I'm telling you, there is no greater life lesson to learn than this truth. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That is not saying that it is bad to receive. If you have someone giving, you will have someone receiving. But Jesus said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why not put yourself in the place of the giver? We all like to receive and often go through life just hoping to be on the receiving end. But how it would revolutionize our lives if we made up our minds to give to others. We can give our time. We can give our talents. We can give our treasure. We can give our mercy. We can give our love. We can give our hearts. The truth is, there's not a person in this room who just hasn't got a lot to give. It's just a matter of, will you give it? And remember, our blessed Savior himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive.